Welcome to AUSA's Army Matters podcast. This is Soldier Today podcast with SMA retired Ken Preston and co-host Command Sergeant Major retired Troy Welch.
Hello everyone, I'm Sergeant Major of the Army retired Ken Preston, and welcome to this first edition of Soldier Today podcast. Our inaugural discussion topic is Army Greens, the decision to bring back the iconic World War II uniform. So the new Army Greens have been under design now for more than a year. Lots of talk and discussion about the uniform in the news, on social media, and in the public eye. We have seen photos of soldiers wearing the uniform at the Army-Navy game now for 2 years in a row, at the annual AUSA Symposium in 2017, and again now this year in October 2018. Lots of discussion, lots of planning, and most importantly, lots of feedback from soldiers who will wear the uniform, from our veterans, our retired soldiers, families, and the American public. So this is a great subject to discuss, and the best person to have the discussion with here in our studio is the Sergeant Major of the Army, Daniel A. Daly. SMA, thanks very much, and welcome to Soldier Today podcast.
Well, SMA Preston, thank you, and I appreciate you giving me the humble opportunity to be your inaugural speaker here today. And I just can't tell you how much we all thank you for what our association does for our Army every day.
Thanks very much. And, you know, SMA, you have been a champion for the Army Greens uniform and have worn the uniform to the Army-Navy game. And we've seen you in the public eye at the AUSA Annual Symposium and many more locations around town and across the country. You know the uniform, the design, the fit, the accoutrements, and the feedback from soldiers around the Army better than anyone. So for our listeners, I would like to start with the why now question. Why does the Army need this uniform now?
Absolutely. Well, before I get into the discussion of why, let me tell you, it's official. The Secretary has made the decision. This is going to be the new Army service uniform.
That's great.
And it's a great question to ask why. So why? Well, we needed a service uniform. Our blue uniform is our historic uniform that dates back to the beginnings of the United States Army. And it is our traditional dress uniform, and it has been. And it has served us well and will continue to serve us well. We'll talk about that a little bit more later.
Okay.
But the service uniform, I think what we really want to do is be able to capitalize on the identity of the soldier. And there's no more time in recent history than that of the greatest generation in the Second World War era. This uniform is very much identified by the American public today, the grandchildren and the children of that greatest generation. And the soldiers, well, they love it.
Yeah, okay, good. And you know, I've been hearing a lot of feedback, too. And some of the questions I get is, you know, one of the questions was, what is the problem that we're trying to solve? And I don't know if it's really a problem, but you know the image of the American soldier out there, and really what is the needs of the Army now going forward?
Yeah, absolutely. And what is the problem we're trying to solve? It's really a fit and function. So function is we do have a blue uniform, and it used to serve as our dress uniform now. But now we're using one uniform to serve in many capacities, in a service, in a dress, and maybe even a mess dress in the evening. And it does. It serves us well. The leadership that made that decision made a great decision at the time. We consolidated our uniforms. But we're wearing our tuxedos to work. The second thing is that we simply just don't wear our uniforms enough anymore. You know, we've been at war for an extended period of time now.
Yep.
And we got to get our soldiers back into a professional uniform that American people can look at and say, that's the kind of person I want my son or daughter to aspire to be. They look like professionals, and they have a professional dress uniform. And there's nothing more iconic than the Second World War uniform.
Yeah, and this kind of gets to the daily wear piece of the uniform, right? You know, where you want to see soldiers out there wearing the uniform more frequently.
Absolutely. And I'd be cautious, though, if we use the word daily. I'll have all the soldiers out there thinking they're going to have to wear this every single day. And if you remember back when we were young soldiers, we wore a lot more frequently than we do today. Now, we're not going to be wearing a new dress, green uniform in the motor pool. That's not what I'm saying. Your utility uniform or your OCPs is going to be your normal wear uniform. But I do want to put our soldiers back in a professional uniform. Our recruiters are ones who will be issued the uniform first, so they can be in that uniform on a day-to-day basis to show the American public that there's a professional soldier out there.
Oh, yeah, great discussion. So with the Army Greens, is this new uniform historically accurate?
I get that question all the time. And that's a difficult question to answer because there was a lot of different designs of this uniform during the World War II period. Many different manufacturers. You can imagine the scale during that period of how they produced these. And there was a lot of changes, actually, during the World War II period in just that small period of time. So it is a historic representation of the uniform. And we picked one period, and that was the period that General Marshall was the Chief of Staff in the United States Army. If you look at the iconic uniform that he wears, that's probably the best representation that we're trying to match. Now, it's not exactly historically correct because we're capitalizing on modern technology advances in fabric and materials. So we're going to produce a high-quality uniform that is an accurate representation of that period in history.
Okay. And how will the change in the uniform, how do you see it achieving the Army's goal, particularly as it applies to the American public?
As I said before, Ken, I think that every single person in America today can still identify what their grandfathers and their fathers and mothers wore during the World War II period. The greatest generation is still very much in the minds of the American people. And that's what we're trying to capitalize on. There's another great generation, and that's this generation we have today. These men and women who have served this country for the last 17 years, and we can't think of any better way to honor those from the previous greatest generation and to show the American public that today's generation is going to produce just as good of results as that one that did before.
Yeah, and this is the longest war that we've been involved with.
That's right.
So is there a difference, and looking specifically now at the uniforms, is there a difference between the men's and women's uniforms?
Absolutely, Ned. This is the first time in history that we actually put together an all-female uniform board, and we gave them the opportunity to specifically design their uniform for the needs of our female soldiers. And what I think they come up with is a phenomenal, phenomenal uniform that is also a good representation of the historic, iconic World War II uniform, but meets the needs of our female soldiers, and they did a great job. So there is a difference. There's a difference between the male and the female version and some of the items that we issue. But there's also some similarities. They made some choices to go along with the same headgear as our male uniforms and also the same tie. There won't be a neck tab on the new uniform.
Oh, okay, good. And I'm sure for all of our listeners out there, that's a great piece of information that you just won't see in the normal news. So what about size of the rank and service stripes? Will that be different as it is now with the uniform?
Absolutely, Ken. And there'll be different sizes for both the male and female because it will match the size of the jackets because there is differences between those. And there'll be some alternate items. Obviously, the females will have an alternate skirt item. But we'll talk about number of items issued, in the future questions.
Yeah, sure. So now you mentioned the recruiters. So the recruiters would be the first ones to get this uniform. Is it what kind of numbers are we looking at, and when will they start being issued uniforms?
Absolutely. So our plan is to do our first initial pilot with a small number of recruiters, around 200. And TRADOC is going to designate those individuals. And that is just for the fielding of the manufacturer of the uniform and get them out to the field and size and fit and work out any issues or concerns we have. And then the intent is to field the entire recruiting population with this uniform so we can really get out there on the streets of hometown America and show them this iconic World War II uniform.
Yeah, that's got to be huge. I mean, there's a lot of recruiters out there. So And especially, too, getting it out into the eyes of the American public. So, now, one of the questions, obviously, that comes up all the time is cost. And, so with that, what's the cost of the new uniform?
Well, the good news is, and help fix any misperceptions, is that the enlisted soldiers in the United States Army will not have to pay for this uniform. We're going to ensure that every single soldier receives the money in their clothing allowance prior to its mandatory implementation date. And we're extending the life of this uniform. That's one of the things we're going to do in order to alleviate and increase cost to the taxpayers from what we currently pay for uniforms. So when you say cost, this is going to be a cost-neutral option for the American taxpayer. And we're not going to spend any more money than we currently do on uniforms. And we're going to provide a higher quality uniform to our soldiers and the enlisted soldiers. It's going to be a no cost for them.
Yeah. So for those soldiers out there, the enlisted soldiers in the regular Army, obviously it's the clothing allowance. What about for the Army National Guard and Army Reserve soldiers? How does that work for them?
That's right. So we're working a fielding plan with the Army G4, and they are part of that plan now. So those soldiers, again, their enlisted soldiers will be issued that uniform at no cost to them. No additional cost to them than what is already provided for them from their uniform allowances.
Okay, and what's the timeline? I mean, how far out? I mean, when do we think it will start? And what is end date, I guess, for everybody?
Yeah, great question. So we're going to work initial production with the recruiters and a few other individuals this year. So that may start as early as February and work through the summer. We won't see this issued in a basic training AIT setting into the year 2020, and then mandatory implementation, full fielding across the Army, 2028. I know that sounds like a lot of time, but that gives us the 6 years to make sure that we give all of our enlisted soldiers adequate amount of clothing allowance prior to its mandatory implementation date.
Yeah, so you mentioned 2020 for basic training. I know one of the things out there being talked about was maybe not getting the uniforms to the soldier until they get to their first duty assignment.
Absolutely.
Can you talk about some of that?
Yeah, Ken, I'm glad you brought that up. So basic training, actually, right population, wrong term to use for this, because we're looking at a different way of issuing this uniform that's going to help us save money. And those soldiers, when they graduate from basic training and then AIT, what we're trying to look at and what we're trying to explore is issuing those soldiers their uniform either at the end of AIT or at their first unit. This is going to help us decrease the overall cost due to waste that happens due to attrition of those soldiers during both basic training and AIT. But it's all going to allow us to be able to give the soldier a better fit product. So we often rush a lot of times to get uniforms fit for those soldiers to meet the graduation day requirements of basic training. And now this is an opportunity for a soldier to get to their first duty station, take the time to accurately fit that uniform and get a custom tailored uniform at a higher quality and a lower cost.
Okay. Where's so we talk about quality of the uniform, and where are these uniforms made? I mean, where are they produced?
Yeah, that's a great question. We haven't have that all figured out yet. Of course, the contracting of this has to go through its normal contracting process throughout the U.S., but it is going to be American-made. It's one of the requirements that we have to be, that we are held to, and I can tell you everything that was made for the prototype items were made in America. So. We still don't know who's going to actually make the uniforms yet. The folks in the contracting team are working those details. But I can assure you it's going to be an American-made product.
Yeah. Well, I know right now everybody that looks at the uniform, they've seen you in the photos. They've seen the soldiers at the annual meeting. And they talk about how sharp the uniform looks, the patches. What about, as you talk about the other accessories, the other accoutrements that go with the uniform, can you talk about some of that?
Absolutely. So a lot of discussion on this. There's some thought process of we just take what's currently on the ASU and really change the regulation for to meet the requirements of the Army Green Uniform. And then there's some talk of should we reduce the amount of things that we have on the ASU versus the Army Green Uniform to make it more simple. If we look at what they wore during that period, it was much less than what we wear today. This is discussions that we're having with the Senior Enlisted Council, the Army Uniform Board, and the Army Senior Leadership. And I think what you're going to see in the future is a change. I'm not confident what that change is because there's a lot of decisions that still have to be made with that.
Yeah, that's right.
And we got plenty of time. We got plenty of time. So the Chief of Staff of the Army's current guidance is just tell them to go with what we wear on the Army service uniform minus the name tag. I got a lot of comments on the internet about me missing my name tag. I wasn't. It wasn't worn during the major portion of the World War II time period, and that's the decision we have already made, is we're not going to wear the name tag on the Army Green Uniform.
Yeah, well, many of the other services don't wear a name tag either.
That's right.
So now, as an example, we have the short black jacket that we wear with the Army Service Uniform. Mm-hmm. You're looking at a replacement for that jacket with the Army Greens.
Absolutely. So and we have a couple options, which I'm excited to tell you about today, Ken. And all of these are alternate items. As a matter of fact, I'll try to list out all the alternate items, but I'll start with the three jackets you talked about. The first one is the iconic Ike jacket, named after.
You said three jackets?
Three jackets, three alternate jackets. That's right. I know we're getting very complex with our uniform menu here, but it's going to give soldiers options, and they're all for a purpose. So the first one, as I mentioned, is the Ike jacket, named after Eisenhower, General Eisenhower.
Yeah.
And you can Google that. You can see him. He wears it. He wore a lot. And it's a very good-looking jacket. And that'll give an opportunity in a business setting to remove the full long coat and put on a less formal, but not as informal as, say, the windbreaker, which is the next one.
Oh.
So it'll be a windbreaker just like we have today. The current one is black. This one will be green. Okay. And back in World War II, they called it the tanker jacket because many times you saw the tankers wear that when they were inside their tanks.
Yeah, in fact, the tankers used to sew patches all over the thing, So.
They did, yeah. And again, you can Google that and see historic photos of it. And the one I'm most excited about, Ken, and I think a lot of soldiers are that have already heard about it, is the leather bomber jacket. Originally an Army item, predominantly worn by the Army Air Corps, but also worn by ground troops back in the period. Mm-hmm. And this is going to be an optional item for purchase and wear in lieu of either the Ike jacket or the Windbreaker jacket.
Mm-hmm. Oh, very good. So now what about like the overcoat? Is there an overcoat too as part of this?
There is. And you know, what I'd like to do is go over what the issue items will be. So I talked about some of the three of the alternate items that you could purchase on your own. But soldiers are going to, when they get issued this uniform, they're going to get an all-weather jacket like they do today, but that's going to be green. They're going to get their jacket, their top, two pairs of pants, of course, socks and shoes to match the brown leather shoes, a garrison cap. So the one soldier's been seeing me walking around, the service cap, that's not the issue item. That's an alternate item like it is today for the Blues.
Okay.
Short and long sleeve shirts and a tie. And both the males and females will have the same tie.
Same tie.
And the same headgear. The alternate items are, or optional items, are skirt and pumps for our female soldiers. Okay. And then a service cap, which is the one that soldiers see me wear. And an Ike jacket, as I described, the windbreaker, a bomber jacket, a sweater. And wait, this is a great one, Ken, for our airborne soldiers out there. We're developing brown jump boots.
Brown jump boots.
Brown jump boots, yeah.
The Cochran's.
And those prototypes should be in my office in about a week or two. And I've already leaked that a little bit to some of our airborne soldiers, and they're pretty excited about wearing leather bomber jackets and brown jump boots.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned the sweater, because I have not seen the sweater. Can you kind of talk about what's the sweater? Is it like the cardigan sweater, or is it a pullover?
Absolutely, and you and I both share the same. I have not seen it either. We gave them guides to bring in a couple different options, the same way we developed the current items now. So and that's what I did. I just told them, bring in a cardigan, bring one of the pullovers in, let's get it. We know that we probably want it to be brown, so that's the historically correct. If soldiers of your day and age and mine, we were issued brown sweaters. And but I don't know the exact design yet, so we're gonna work through that. And I'm pretty excited about it, though.
Yeah, that's great. Now, so some of the other things now, questions coming in was, so what's gonna happen to the current Army service uniform, the blue service uniform?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, it's not going away. For all those that are, that love that uniform, I can promise you it's here to stay. And as I mentioned before, this is really, the core uniform from the beginnings of time. Back in 1775, the blue uniform was what the American Army was known for, and our officers wore it as a dress uniform from the beginnings of the Army. We're going to put it back in its level of etiquette, per se. I know that's probably not the right term to use, but it's going to go back to the Army dress blue uniform. So the Army greens will serve as your service uniform, the blues will serve as your dress uniform, and then of course we'll maintain the Army dress mess uniform for the very formal occasions.
Okay, so as you talk about it reverting back to its dress uniform wear, are you going to change service stripes and overseas service bars? Is it going to go back to the large service stripes on the sleeves and those sort of things?
Again, we haven't finalized that yet, but I don't think so. I think it's in a good form now. I think the leadership that developed those changes were for the best. They highlight the things that our soldiers are that are important to them. And I think we can just move it back to its traditional dress function and then take the four-in-hand necktie and replace it with the bow tie.
Okay. And I guess additional clothing items then will stay to be used with the blue Army service uniform as a dress uniform?
So all the items that are currently with it now will move with it back to its dress state. The only thing that won't be required is soldiers will not be required to maintain that as a clothing bag item, or any of the alternate additional items that service just the dress blue uniform. So it'll go back to optional, and soldiers won't be issued that uniform in the future. They'll only be issued a service dress, and it won't be required for soldiers to purchase.
Yeah, okay, great. Now, one of the things, as we kind of wrap up here, the last couple of thoughts, one of the things I've heard you talk about as you've been out there speaking to large groups, you talk about those young Americans out there that can relate to our military services. And how do you see this uniform relating to that next generation of soldier that's going to join the Army in the next couple years?
Absolutely. And like I said, I think this uniform has held its test of time. And even though that we got away from it, the American people still clearly identify this uniform with the Greatest Generation. The grandsons, the sons and daughters and granddaughters of that Greatest Generation still identify with this. And I think that's going to carry on. And when you look at our sister services, the Marines, and they have demonstrated this to be true. They didn't get away from that uniform in that period. And it's iconic when you see a Marine. And the next generation, I think, is going to have that same feeling when they look back and see that same Marine or that same soldier in that iconic uniform that has such an impact of the American people.
Okay. So as you kind of think about now for, you know, everything that we've talked about, any last final thoughts that you want to pass on to our listeners out there that, you know, you want to kind of say and as we finish up?
Yeah, absolutely. I said, you know, change is hard. And I got that feedback loud and clear as we were surveying the Army and the American public about whether this was the right decision to make. And I could tell you, with all honesty, the majority of our men, young men and women in uniform, really wanted this uniform. But I can tell you, as anything, the hardest thing to do is get the decision. And now the decision is made, the number one question I get is, when are we getting it?
Yeah.
So soldiers are excited about this, Ken. I honestly tell you, they're excited about it. But I tell you, be patient. It's going to take us some time to make this. It's going to take some time for the American textile industry to produce this. We want to make it right. We want to produce a high-quality uniform. And I can assure you that they'll be available. But just not tomorrow. It's going to take us a little bit of time because we want to make sure we provide a high-quality uniform to our soldiers.
Yeah, it's a great message. And SMA, again, thanks very much for coming over, and greatly appreciate you coming in to Soldier Today podcast and sharing all your thoughts with our listeners out there. To all our listeners, thanks for joining. Be sure to subscribe to Army Matters podcast on iTunes and everywhere podcasts are found. Keep it locked here for all Army Matters and for next week's episode with Army Real Talk. Have a great Army Day. Hooah. AUSA is the U.S. Army's professional association, a voice for the Army and support for the soldier. For more information about AUSA or to become a member, visit AUSA.org.